New research on the types of diets and foods that actually might preserve our brain health. Dr. Brandon Brock is with us, expert in brain health at Cerebrum, cerebrum.com. Dr. Brock, great to have you here.
Hey, good to be on.
Here on WILS. Now, if you were to put food and exercise side by side, which is more important to our brain health?
Well, food is really important because you have it every day. You know, and you really, the stuff that you put into your mouth is going to turn into who you are. And what you eat consistently for about 6 months is going to replenish pretty much every cell in your body. Brain cells are a little bit different because they're kind of infinite cells. They don't divide and multiply, but their internal health is very dependent on your diet.
So what does that mean? Because I've heard if you kill a brain cell, you'll never get it back. Is that true?
Well, we think that's for the most part true. There's some research that shows that we probably have some stem cell growth activity and so forth, but it's not an easy task.
Mm-hmm. So, because the study looked at the Mediterranean diet, which I guess, you know, the oils and the vegetables and so on, is it clear what types of foods are best for our brain?
Well, we know that it's higher in fats that are good fats, like the olive oils and stuff like that, and we know that there's a pretty good amount of research that shows that certain types of fats are really good for your brain because your brain has a high fat content. So it tends to keep those cells healthy. And then we know that there's not as much red meat, so there's not as much probability of inflammation, which can be harmful to the brain. So there's leaner meats and higher fat.
What about grains, sugar? Do they have any particular effect on the brain?
Well, I'm not a big fan of grains for the brain. I think that grains can be harmful. That's one difference that I have with the Mediterranean diet. Mediterranean diet's a little bit higher in grains.
When you say harmful, what do you mean?
Well, one of the things is that a lot of these are either A, genetically modified, so there's some debate on that, or B, some of these grains tend to be a little bit more allergenic to people. So some people have insensitivities to like gluten or to wheat. And so you just have a percentage of people that don't do well with grains. It's not that it's bad. It's just we have a tendency to be a little bit more allergenic to those, which is, that's just the one part of the diet that I'm not, that I would try to minimize a little bit if I was going to put somebody on a Mediterranean diet.
I've been reading about this thing called intermittent fasting and just general reduction of calories. Does that help the brain in any way to eat less?
Yeah, there's some good research on fasting. It's kind of like this. If your cells in your brain are sort of hoarding intercellular junk, the fasting gets rid of all the debris out of the cell, and that makes them healthier. So fasting is actually very good for the brain as long as you have blood sugar that's stable and stuff like that and you're not diabetic.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you do in the clinic yourself, the fasting?
Yeah, we do some fasting with people that are, you know, really ill. I mean, it's not long fast. They're short fast. They're not something that's dangerous or deleterious, and we make sure there's no contraindications. But fasting can be very effective for somebody who is, you know, suffering from some chronic illnesses. It's really nice to do every now and then.
Yeah. Now, the exercise, the last news I saw was that exercising may be good for your body, but it's fantastic for your brain. Is that true?
It's the most vital link that we have. I mean, if you really control your diet and you're healthy and vigorous and you exercise and you reduce your stress levels, you really have a chance to have a brain that's going to live, you know, that's going to be healthier and happier as you age. I mean, it's
now, what does it's exercise do for the brain exactly?
Well, what it does is when you activate the receptors in your body and you stimulate those receptors, it goes up and it activates your brain sort of like a spark plug, and it makes you keep those intracellular connections, and then it activates the inside of the cell to continue to make energy so you don't lose energy and kill cells.
Mm-hmm.
So it's vital.
Okay, so our brains, what do they shrink anyway as we get older?
Yeah, you're going to lose some volume loss. I mean, once you hit about the age of 30 to 32, you're going to lose a little bit of your energy production.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you stay healthy and active, you will not accelerate that process.
Okay. Having a few drinks in the evening, is that bad?
Well, there's some really interesting stuff about red wine and some of the resveratrol and the antioxidants in wine. You know, I would say some alcohol in definite moderation is okay as long as you don't develop a problem with it or, you know, overindulge.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything food-wise or drink-wise that you think is just should be completely avoided for your brain?
Yeah, artificial sweeteners.
Really? You're talking about like aspartame and other things like that?
Yeah, they're excitotoxins. So whenever your brain starts to become unhealthy, it overexcites them, so they exceed their rate and they typically don't make it.
What does that mean, overexcites? So what happens in the brain when you have a Diet Coke then?
So you have these little receptors that are sensitive to a neurotransmitter called glutamate, and it excites your brain. Well, the aspartate is very similar to glutamate. So it attaches onto these receptor sites, excites them, but they don't have the energy to keep up with the excitation, so they sort of overactivate and they can just undergo a process where they literally blow up. They just dissolve or generate.
Wait, are things blowing up in your brain when you have artificial sweeteners? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Don't quote me on that one, but it's just kind of an analogy there. But, you know,
so what do you think? Because, I mean, I don't know if do studies really show that there's like a potential disease from artificial sweeteners to the brain? Or?
Yeah, there's literature that shows that excitotoxins, which is a whole list of different ingredients, are, you know, deleterious to brain health, yes.
So something like xylitol, is that bad for the brain too? Or
I would say that that's a sweetener that's not near as bad, definitely better for you. You know, if you have some gastrointestinal issues, it might not be that good, but for brain health, it's definitely a better choice.
You're saying NutraSweet, you do not consume that at all yourself?
Listen, I try to be as healthy as I can, and there's some things I do that are good and that are bad, but artificial sweeteners is one thing that I do not do.
Dr. Brandon Brock, he's an expert in brain health. You heard it right here on WILS. Find him at Cerebrum.com. Dr. Brock, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.